Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. If you ever miss one of our interviews, go check out our interview on demand section for the Sedano Show podcast on the ESPN app, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you find your podcasts, maybe Google as well. Brought to you by Capital One Quicksilver Card, earning unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere. What's in your wallet? It's time for Straight Talk. Brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. And our guest now is Michael Wilbon, PTI. Check him out. I know you guys are doing shows on TV sometimes, Michael. I know you're doing it on digital other times. But people can find it on the PTI Twitter account or on Michael's Twitter account or social feeds, Instagram, Facebook. Real Mike Wilbon is where you find him. Michael, hope everyone is healthy, safe, and sound. Yes?
Yes, so far. And we're on doing the 5 o'clock Eastern Sports Center block. I mean, it's been a Sports Center 5 to 7 block now for a couple of weeks. And the first week we did, we were on social media. We decided to just sort of went back when nobody knew what was going on. That first week that things were canceled, and we were not supposed to be on because of college basketball. So that's why PTI was off. And then we still did some stuff on social media, as you mentioned, George, and then since then we did a couple of weeks on not as a full PTI show, but some of our elements, certainly a long news block and part of our show. So now we're back off because of the Masters coverage. You know, the network is still doing the Masters, even though they're not playing the Masters right now. But I think today they're broadcasting the 1986, the last Jack Nicklaus Masters. So I wasn't playing or watching golf then, so I think I'm gonna sit in front of the TV anyway, just as if they were playing today.
Yep, I actually have it up right now. I'm watching it right now. So yes, it is something worth watching today for sure. I've been enjoying all these old games because I don't know about you, Michael. I find myself now knowing the result. There are still moments that capture me that I'm just like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened. And then I can look for more nuance in individual plays. Have you found yourself kind of there too?
Well, old games, George, I'm a lot older than you. I was at those games in many cases. NBA, NFL, a few baseball, like the Cal Ripken game that was rebroadcast. I was at, the record-breaking Lou Gehrig record-breaking game that everybody talked about and watched again. And, yeah, even though I know the outcome, I'm interested in some of it. Sometimes it's something else I'm looking for, just like you said, some nuance, other things, locking in on one player. But the truly great games, I mean, they're just like reruns of television shows. I watch Law and Order over and over, and I know the outcome, and I've seen it, and I still have favorite episodes. My wife's like, why are you watching this episode of Law and Order for like the fourth time? Because I want to see it, because I love it, because it's great.
Yeah.
And so there are certain games that, there are certain games that they're not old games to me because I was there, and that just reminds me how old I am. But yeah, I revel in some of it. My son is 12 years old, and to be able to watch some of them with him, with guys he's met. And he's like, Dad, I didn't know Mr. Barkley was that good. I'm like, yeah. Mr. Barkley was pretty damn good at one point. Yes, he was.
That's awesome. That's awesome to hear. Yeah, tonight on ESPN at 5 Pacific, I believe, we're going to have the 2013 NBA Finals. We'll have Game 6, which is the Ray Allen game, followed by Game 7 of that Heat-Spurs series. I mean, that Ray Allen game, Michael, I mean, arguably the greatest shot in finals history. I mean, Magic Skyhook is in that conversation. Jordan's shot over Byron Russell.
Kyrie's shot.
Yeah, Kyrie's shot. Like, those are the four, right, that come to mind immediately.
Yeah, they do. That game's so recent for me, and I was certainly covering that. And that game, George, people don't realize I was sitting on – it was sort of that vomitorium, and I'm sitting there. We're waiting to do, a San Antonio victory broadcast post game, and the trophy is being brought out. And remember, that was what, Game 6. the trophy is being brought out to be awarded. The guys are bringing it out. The league officials are rolling that bad boy out to be handed to Pop and Tony Parker and Tim Duncan and Manu again. And they couldn't get a rebound. And Kawhi, you know, people forget Kawhi was on the bad end of that. I mean, he couldn't grab a rebound. And somebody missed a free throw. I'm forgetting who it is.
It was Kawhi. Kawhi missed the free throw, too.
Wow, Kawhi missed a free throw. And Duncan wasn't on the floor,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they didn't think they were going to have to, you know, have a rebound. And, yeah, they lost that series. That's, I still remember that. I love, of course, when the games are played that are even older replayed. And they're not doing that many. You know, they're mostly in the last 10 years, which I don't even, those are today games for me. I'd love to see, and they show the Jordan games. We see some of those, but there's so many great NBA games that I wish there's a wider variety, a bigger catalog of those games you could choose from to see, particularly now when we don't have any.
For sure, for sure. I actually text someone at the NBA and I said, your app needs to be like the WWE and UFC app that has like a library now. You know what I'm saying? Like where we can go and access all these games. And they were like, I just got one of those emojis back.
Well, you know, George, though, the bad part is, and I remember talking to David Stern about this years ago, there was no apparatus like NFL Films that had all the NBA games.
Mm-hmm.
Like at one point, the NBA was talking to the NFL folks about doing the NBA, and that sort of broke down. I'm sure the NFL probably didn't want any part of that. And remember the Wilt game, for instance. That wasn't a finals game, but the Wilt Chamberlain 100-point game. There was no television. There's no no video of it. And there's other games and there are games where it was just the video was bad, and you couldn't broadcast it. Now, I mean, you just don't have that much video until I don't know the 1980s, which sounds crazy, but I've asked NBA folks about it, and that's the case.
Michael Wilbon joining us here of PTI fame. He's the, I like to call him the triple OG of sports media. He's joining us here on the Sedano Show. Follow him on his social media accounts, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Real Mike Wilbon. I want to talk some stuff with you that's more current, but since we're talking old school games, the Jordan documentary is coming out. I mean, clearly you were around him so much. I know you were part of the documentary as well. Like, of all the Michael moments, right? Like, was there ever a moment that you felt to yourself that, maybe we are witnessing the best player, like in real time? Did you ever feel like that was possible?
Great question. I was talking about this with, David Aldridge and I covered so much of Michael's career, and we did it first for the Washington Post, and, I think the shrug game, just sitting at courtside in 1992 in Chicago, when he hit those six threes and in one half, and Magic was at the table doing the broadcast because Magic was still newly retired, about a year into his retirement, and you just felt, okay, that was a big deal then. It's not a big deal now. But for a player like Michael Jordan who didn't do that, people have to remember, Jordan took like, I don't know, maybe 23s his rookie year. I have to look it up. I know he shot like 19%. I looked this up the other day with my son because we were talking about it. He said, why was that short game such a big deal? And I said, Manny, Michael Jordan didn't shoot threes. That's not the game that was played even in the 1990s. And when he did that and they came back, and Jordan was even on the bench when the Bulls came back, they were down, I don't know, 13 or something in the fourth quarter. You just thought, you know what? With him on this team, they just feel they can do anything. And that's why it was so crushing to people when he retired, not just Chicagoans or Bulls fans. It was crushing to everybody because you'd seen three times this sort of magic. And so when he came back, each one of those moments, George, like the 55-point game in Madison Square Garden, his fourth game back out of retirement. That's when you, put it this way, we all knew, because my sports editor, remember I'm writing for the Washington Post, out of paper in Chicago, he told David Aldridge and me, he said, look, I don't want to see you guys in Washington. You got to, one of you figure out a schedule. You guys have to cover Jordan every game. And that wasn't just the instruction from the sports editor at the Washington Post. That was the instruction at the LA Times, at the Dallas Morning News, at, of course, the New York Times, all three New York papers, because that was the primary way sports was covered then. But yeah, man, you started to know, and you had to be there. And it was like covering, people say it was like covering a rock star. There's no rock star, there's no musician anymore that was as big as Jordan was when he came back for the last three. And yeah, you knew it. You knew it every night. That's why you were there.
Which team was better, Michael, the first three or the second three?
Well, see, we get into this. This is great. I don't know how much it's going to be. Look, there's 20 hours? No, is it 20 hours? Yeah.
Yeah. It's right? 10 two-hour episodes. Yep.
Yeah, and no, 10 hours. 10 hours. Five two-hour episodes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, no, I could take 20. But
and, yeah.
You know, I disagree. This is crazy to sound, to say this loud, loud. So I disagree with Michael on the greatest team. Like, he says it's 96. The obvious answer for most people would be 1996. The team where he comes back full time, after winning 45 for those 17 games and playoffs in 1995. In 96, that's the team that they're up on Seattle 3-0. You know, they're just cruising with Dennis Rodman, the 72 win team. I don't think it's that team. I think it's a team in 1992 with Horace Grant. Because I just thought Horace Grant was a better player than Dennis Rodman. Not a better defender, but a better player and less selfish. You know, Rodman turned rebounding into a but he also turned it into a selfish thing because that was Dennis Rodman. Horace Grant would leave a rebound for somebody else to go guard somebody on the perimeter. And so I thought that was the team. It makes for great conversations. I said this on PTI one day. And I get a call from Michael, and it just starts this one with out of hello. It just goes, "Are you crazy?" And I'm like, "What?" He says, "The 92 team over the 96 team." So we've had this back and forth. And I there are times where I get a look from him, but I think he's considering it. And I consider that a triumphant moment for me that I can persuade him to at least think about it. But he says 96. I love the 92 team. I know nobody, not me. A few people do say that. I've had coaches call me and say, "I think you're right." Or I've run into them later. "I think you're right about right. that." People who had a coach against both. But man, you could go through each one of them. You could make the case, I don't know, how about when they go 4-1 over Magic Lakers and they roll them and they sweep the three games in LA in the Forum in the finals? You know, there's so much stuff that, again, this stuff's not, you don't see it much, and I'm glad the documentary is going to allow a whole generation of people to consume Michael Jordan and the Bulls in a different way, but for the first time.
The great Michael Wilbon joining us here. I actually have some Laker questions regarding Jordan for you. You mentioned Magic. At what point do you think that Magic realized, this is the guy, I'm no longer the guy?
Well, it really did happen. And it happened like it was a pronouncement. Like, but I don't remember. This is why I can't wait to see the documentary, because there's certain things that I'm just going to watch and go, "Oh my God." The game, and I don't think it was a playoff game, it was a regular season game. I was there, I was in LA for it. And it was in the first three, so it might have been 92 or 93. And Magic said, "You know that Jordan is the best player in the game." He just sort of said it. He said it out loud. He said it to the reporters who were there. I know Mark Heisler would remember. And it was, you froze. You just, because no one had ever considered, I don't know, a non-big man the best player in the game. You know, that had been Kareem, that had been Russell, that had been Wilt, that had been, you know, that, and then Magic, that had been Magic, or Bird, whatever you wanted to pick. For me, it was Magic. And Irvin said it, and Bird said it too. Bird said it too, and they said it out loud, man. And it was just like, I guess that's the case now. I guess that's the standard way of proceeding with thinking about Michael Jordan. And I don't remember exactly when it was, but my memory says, and it's flawed now, George, that was sometime in which would have been after the Dream Team, so I guess that would have been 93 in that mm-hmm. third championship. But yeah, they knew too, and it took, you know, and look, they had to be convinced, and they had to be convinced on the court after dealing with him on court, and he never beat the Celtics. So Bird could have said, look, no, he's got to go through us. And he couldn't. I mean, Larry Bird's record against Michael Jordan in the playoffs is 2-0, 6-0, 2 3-game sweeps. So that's the one thing Jordan never got a chance to do again once he got to be the best, was play against Bird and the Celtics.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about in regards to the Lakers was just, look, clearly Vanessa showed so much strength during that Kobe Memorial. But after her, like, Michael's words were so impactful. How, as someone who look, covered both those guys, right? At the highest levels, you know, whether on, at the newspaper or on television, what was that relationship like in your opinion?
Michael and Kobe?
Correct.
Yes, it was just as Michael described it. It was just as he described it. And that's the one thing I was privy to. It was very much off the record stuff back then. So Michael's put it on the record now by talking about it publicly. I mean, so in real time, George, Michael, he thought it was just as he described it. He thought Kobe was a nuisance in a good way, in a great way, because he just thought, you know, the kid was so talented. I mean, the kid now at 18, 19, 20 years old, people were talking about the air balls, and Jordan would say, I don't care about air balls. This kid has greatness in him. And so Jordan saw that. And Kobe would call Michael all the time. And just bug him about anything. If he saw him in person, he'd just pull him aside. And so when Michael says he was a nuisance, he was a little brother who was a nuisance, that's exactly it. There were games when, if I was covering the Lakers, where Kobe would have one of those great games. I was not at the 81-point game or some of those. But, I mean, he'd have just a great regular old game for him. You know, 38 points, 9 assists, 6 rebounds, whatever, spectacular plays. And if we're standing outside the locker room, the media, as you know, we line up to go in, Kobe would sort of drift over to me intentionally. I'd get an elbow or something, a playful punch, and he would just say in my ear where nobody else could hear, "So what would your boy have done tonight? Would your boy have been this good tonight? How many would your boy have done? Would he have scored 40 on Vince Carter like that tonight, huh?" And it was just great. I mean, you know, I said to Kobe, this happened for years, these sort of little episodes. And I would say, "Can I talk about this? Can I write about this?" "No, no, 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 no. People will not understand it. They'll take it the wrong way." You know, and I understood in real time what he meant and why he meant it. But it was so great, and it was nothing but tribute. It was complete and utter tribute. And sometimes, a couple times I think I said, "I'm going to call and tell him what you said." He goes, "Call him, call that old man. Call him, tell him what you think. He's watching. Tell him what I did tonight." It was just, it was priceless, you know. I get goosebumps thinking about it. And the relationship was just as Michael described it. At that memorial, he loved him. And it started out with Kobe just bugging the daylights out of him. And Kobe, you know, I wasn't around the Lakers as much as any number of media people. But when that happened, you know, when I was around the Lakers and that happened with Kobe, it was priceless for me just to be involved in that sort of thing.
Michael Wilbon, the great Michael Wilbon, with us here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. You can follow him on all his social accounts, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, at Real Mike Wilbon. A couple of quick ones on the way out for you, Michael. Obviously, there's a lot of news in the last day or so about the way Major League Baseball may be trying to handle their return, if there is indeed a return. Same thing with the NBA. And football's obviously taking a different tact as well. How do you feel each individual league has handled this particular situation and the attempt to move forward?
Well, George, we're just talking about PR. I mean, yes, it's news because anything anybody says now is news. It's just, all it is PR because they can't do anything. They can have a bunch of plans. It reminds, you know, what comes to mind is the Mike Tyson line. You know, everybody's got a plan until they get hit in the mouth. And this virus, this condition of the world keeps hitting everybody in the mouth. And so they can make all the plans they want. It doesn't matter. I thought that Adam Silver said the most honest and meaningful thing of all 2 days ago when he said, I know less now than I knew a month ago. And he stopped. I'm not saying the NBA stopped planning because you know they didn't stop playing. You have to plan. But the plan doesn't mean jack. Major League Baseball's plan at best was premature, is premature. I'm here in Arizona where it certainly, I'm in Scottsdale, and I've been here for 3+ weeks. And yes, there's less stress here. There are fewer cases here. There's fewer deaths here. Many, 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 many fewer. Arizona is not being affected like New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Louisiana. It's just not. So I get it. You have all these parks. You have every reason for baseball to think, okay, maybe we could try this. But they're not trying anything soon. This notion that, you know, baseball is going to return in May. The hell baseball is going to return in May. It isn't. I mean, just people just have to open their eyes. How about Mike Gundy? How about him? How about him coming out?
I mean, that guy.
I mean, he's delusional. He looks like a fool. And if I was the president, I would call him in and say, if you utter another sound before this school has policy to announce, you're fired. You're an idiot. Because that's how he behaved. We're going to get students back in May, and we're going to be in camp. I mean, so it doesn't matter what the league say. And this is why Adam Silver has gotten it right at every turn. When he said 2 days ago, I know less now than I knew before. We'll evaluate when we evaluate. That's it. That's the only response that matters publicly. Yes, your minions can sit back and develop a plan. If we can get back in late May, if we can get back in late June, if we can get back August 1st, you know, even all the stuff with golf. And golf can be, you can stage golf and practice social distancing. You can. Now, I hear people say they don't want to. I, you know, great. You can do it. But the other sports, come on. They're not going to return until the world is in a much different place. They should have learned this, you know, already from the Chinese Basketball League, which was ready to come back, and they couldn't. So if they can't come back, and they're weeks and weeks ahead of us in terms of the direction this virus seems to take, the pattern, then what makes people think we're going to be seeing any sports in May? I see this every morning. I see people on sports that are guessing about this. And if they could stop, I mean, just look at the place we are. And so people better get used to some more old games being shown. And the draft, fine. But the notion that sports is around the corner, and it's just, it's offensively stupid in some cases. Again, not the league should plan, George. They have to. But this notion that, you know, and even people in our business, when are you guys coming back? What? When are you going to leave your house and have a normal life again? We don't know. And so I you know, you got me into an agitated rant. And I guess that's necessary because that's what I'm probably going to go into today on social media. I'm glad that watching the Masters, the old Masters, the 86, will calm my temper. But when I see people saying stupid stuff like the Oklahoma State football coach, it makes me lose it.
Yeah, Mike Gundy was ridiculous, absurd. But look, even the most optimistic models, Michael, before I let you go, are saying that the first week of June we may be able to return to some slice of normalcy, and that's the optimistic model. So it's like hitting a moving target, and I think that people need to just kind of calm down. My theory on it has been, look, we've done a really good job right now as far as staying home, most people, right? And now is the time to tighten that grip, not loosen that grip.
Yeah, no, you're right. And moving target, but you know what? It's only moving in one. It's like trying to catch Usain Bolt. He's way out ahead. Right. We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know when we can, when this can, you know, we're so used to having things our way as a culture, and not just in America, the worldwide, but more here than any place else. We want it now. Get it to me now. And I don't know how I can go on unless you get it to me now. And we're in this place where we're not getting anything we want now, and that optimistic model. I'm hopeful. You know, I kept seeing people kept saying, "Wendy, from talking to doctors, and that's what I do a lot of, George. I put my reporter hat back on. You know, which let's face it, I've taken that off the last few years to spout opinions every day to be a know-it-all. But I talk to doctors almost every day, just friends of mine. people who are involved intimately, a couple on the front lines. And if the NBA could get out there and play the playoffs in August, and I mean maybe in front of fans, in August, why wouldn't they do that? I know baseball doesn't want to hear that. Baseball wants to have 100 in the game. Just, sorry, you know, this thing isn't cooperating with you. I'm hoping the NFL season can be played, whether it's on time or not. Did you hear Myron Rowe? Myron Rowe, the former Florida State football player, who played in the NFL for 3 years and now is in neurosurgery at Mass General. The guy's a neurosurgeon. He was a Rhodes Scholar, by the way. When Myron Rowe was presented with some of this stuff on SportsCenter one morning, he called it ambitious. Some of these projections about returning at a certain time, he just said ambitious. This is a guy who played in the league. And he's saying, stop, slow it, slow your roll. And so I find that people in our industry aren't even listening to people who've been in the industry and are in medicine and have a better view of this than anybody. Myron Rowe, man, I just applaud him. I remember when he was a kid, he came and spent some time in our studio in PTI as a college player, and now he's a neurosurgeon. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to listen to him. I'm not going to listen to coaches and sports writers and fans. Or, I'm going to listen to this guy for a while and people like him. So I'm going to do that when I get off with you. I'm going to talk to a doctor or two I know to say, what do you hear? What do you feel? And some of the guys I'm talking to, George, just in way of wrapping this up, I'm sorry for being so long-winded. These are sports fanatics. My doctor buddies are season ticket holders to stuff. One of them to the Washington Redskins his entire life, and he's 60. And one of them to the Suns and the Cardinals and, you know, like ASU. I mean, the people I'm talking to are vested in sports. They are dying without it. And yet, you know, they're not going to sit there and say, yeah, we got this model that says we'll be back in the middle of May. So I listen to them, and people should listen to the smartest folks out there and not the idiots who pop up every now and then.
I'm with you wholeheartedly. You're never going long with me, my man. You can talk as long as you want, all right? You know that. You know I love you. You know I appreciate every moment that you take to hang out with us here on the show, and I always love running into you. And I'm hopeful that maybe sometime in the summer I will run into you at an NBA game. So
this is like the most fascinating NBA season for different reasons. One of the most fascinating that I've ever seen. And I've been covering this league since 1985, and watched it all my life. And the league has never had this uncertainty of who's going to be a favorite going into the playoffs. It's killing me.
Yeah.
And I was planning on spending a whole like 2 weeks, 3 weeks in LA because we know we all presume Clippers Lakers for a conference final. And I thought, I'm just going to come to L.A. and just stay. This could make it's going to last longer than the Summer Olympics, which it would. The networks would drag that out, you know, for about 19 days. And I to not have it, man, it's just, it's one of many things where you just feel, I'm not going to take things for granted the next time. On the other side of this, when we get to the other side, whatever normal looks like, I am not going to take things for granted as much. And, of course, within 2 or 3 years, we will. We'll take everything for granted again.
Yeah.
That's who we are as a people and a culture. But in terms of the basketball, man, to have no Lakers-Clippers is just it's just a bummer. And so I hope I see you. I hope, even if there's a miniature version of that, if there's an August version, you know, I hope there is. I hope that the world changes to the point where we can see the things that fascinate us in better times.
Michael Wilbon, you are the best. Follow him on social media. Real Mike Wilbon is where you find him on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Stay healthy. Stay safe, you and yours. We appreciate it. We'll see you and talk to you soon.
George, you do the same. Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you so much. There he is, Mike Wilbon with us here.